Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde. Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher. Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City. This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
The you can't be Bucks in six if in a 2-2 series you don't win game five, which is tonight at 7:30 edition. The Tausch has another well-earned day off edition. The final day of OTAs, at least open OTAs, for the offseason. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be there, but you never know. Edition. And our fortnightly visit with our good friend Sophia Minert is scheduled for today. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, and of course, on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free WisconsinOnDemand.com, the Wisconsin On Demand app, which allows you to get us where you get everybody else from the podcast realm. Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and of course, Tausch's favorite, Stitcher. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Park Bank ESPN Madison studios. And from an anteroom in his palatial estate, where his old goalie jersey hangs behind him on a different wall than his Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, Jim Gantner sportrait hangs, you hear him on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. You hear him on Bucks Talk after Bucks games with our buddy Justin Garcia. And you hear him here when Tausch takes a day off, which is frequently. He is our cousin sub of the day. He is Greg Matzik. Gregory, good morning. How are you?
Well, very nice. Thank you for the nice welcome, Jason. Very nice to see you. And I must admit, this is the first time I'm seeing you with the pound of hair that has been cut off your noggin. And I must say, it looks great. I enjoyed the flowing lock look, but I'm sure in the summer months, this feels nice and perhaps liberating.
No, I miss it. I really do. unfortunately, the receding hairline did not pair well with the flowing locks, which were down, I wouldn't say down to my back, shoulder blade region, maybe, enough that Devontae Adams feigned that he didn't know who I was, which was
it was touch and color
minicamp. I do have it. You're not my go-to for questions about hair, Greg. Nor are you my go-to for questions about the best style or cut of shirt to wear when you're not exactly skinny. Now, Jesse, I know you looked amazing on your wedding day, but we trade in truth around here, right? We're honest. Tausch and I and you, none of us are in quite the same peak physical condition that former UW Oshkosh track and field star Greg Matzik is in. Fair?
Fair. Thanks for starting the show by calling me fat, Jason. Appreciate it.
No, I'm calling me fat, and I'm saying that you may be in a similar category where you may be able to help. So today the Bucks have game five. You have donned your Bucks shirt, And if I recall correctly, you have eliminated all lucky shirts from your wardrobe. Nothing is lucky anymore based on your lack of success wearing them.
Brewers postseason last year, we brought out the lucky shirt for the final game of the regular season, for the postseason. There are no lucky shirts. But the Bucks don't need luck tonight, Jason. They just need a win on the road against the banged-up Brooklyn Nets.
Yes, all they need is to injure another one of their big three members, and then all three will be missing action. Today the Packers have their final open OTA practice. Now, at a recent U10 soccer game, I was wearing what I would call a flowing shirt. Not like, you know, the Dalai Lama with the robes, as we learn in Caddyshack. But it was loose-fitting. And it made me look even heavier than I am. So today, I have to be in public. I'm sure the haircut will get some attention on the Packers sideline. But I have chosen a different shirt that is a little more tight-fitting. Not like a schmedium. But I'm a little concerned that it hugs in the wrong places. And yet it is still an upgrade over the shirt that made me look like I was one of those guys that needs to be, like, removed from his house with a forklift. What's better, and we will go to our fit teammate next, but Jesse, what is your philosophy on t-shirts?
T-shirts can be a little bigger. That's my philosophy. T-shirts can run a little bigger because the tight-fitting t-shirt makes you look like you're showing off the muscles. And, you know, if you... Right. So that's the philosophy on the t-shirt. Now, the collared shirt, the other, like, the quarter zips, like, those are a little different philosophy. But the t-shirt, you can run that big, and you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah, I do wish Tausch was here, because we could ask him about the three-quarter zip, which he's, I believe, invented, because I don't know that that exists, or his vest approach. All right, Greg, you're the fit one around here. You are an Adonis. I have, for those that aren't getting the video feed, as Tausch likes to say, which is everyone except us, I have my Nike Breast Cancer Dedicated 2 shirt on, which I think is kind of the right cut where it's not too severe in the midsection. The only issue I really have with this shirt is Paula wouldn't let me write her name on it, which is how these shirts are designed. She said that is not allowed. And the last time she told me I couldn't do something was when she said I couldn't shave my head during chemo, which, again, resulted in the hair thing. So I was thinking about writing, it says dedicated to, and then I was going to write, Paula won't let me write her name on this spot. But I'm not going to do that. Greg, you wear your clothes well, man. What would be your advice other than me losing some weight?
Well, I can only see a nipples up on our video feed here, so I'm not sure. Okay, now that's a different view. That's a different view. It doesn't appear to be a dry fit fabric that you're wearing, which can be
clingy.
Be comfortable, but boy, if the sun is out, you're smoking through that thing. I know they call it wicking, but it's hugging you tight, man. This appears to have a little bit of give to it without being that you know, Jersey's Fruit of the Loom cut of cotton where you wash it three times and all of a sudden it looks like you're wearing a bell. That happens, man. That strip at the bottom, just forget about it. Doesn't make any difference anymore. So I like the fabric. I can already tell you got a nice fabric going. It's not too huggy, but it's not too blousy. So I think you found your sweet spot. Now, I usually go polo because I feel that also kind of accomplishes the goal. But I think your instinct is dead on here, man. Brother, you're going to have yourself a good day.
I don't see myself posting a photo of the shirt necessarily, but I do think this is an interesting question for folks that aren't in tip-top condition, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who wonders that.
Now, the reason I'm holding up a little thing in your video screen, which people listening cannot hear or see, is that in my hand I'm holding something that's about the size of an iPod, right? The old iPod, iPod Mini, somewhere in that size. Do you know what this is, Jason?
What is that?
Do you know what I'm holding here that's got some wires connected to it?
It is tracking your blood pressure.
It is not, although there may be a function for that. No, this is electrostimulation. So here's the price for being a 43-year-old who still thinks he's 23. My back is one gigantic monkey fist, and there is not enough chiropractor visits in a week for me to get back to where I need to go. And all the running and all the this and that, I'm sure I have bulging discs. So this is actually electrostimulation. I have got pads on my back right now firing electricity into my back because I know I'm going to be sitting for about 3 hours.
Wow.
Wow. Are you going to get, like, electrocuted? Like, is this a safety hazard?
Well, we'll see. I've only got it on level 3 right now. I'm a little hesitant to go to level 8 because this is doing something.
All right, so I've seen players use these in the Packers locker room in the past. What does it feel like? Because I've never asked, hey, can I borrow your electro stim and test it out for my... Like, something shy of being tased, I assume. But what does it feel like?
So I would say level 2 feels like your foot just fell asleep. Like, legit fell asleep. Like, that tingling 50,000 needles poking into the bottom of your foot. Right, and it's annoying, and you got to shake your foot, and then it comes. But that's only level 2. So if you crank this up to level, I'd say 5, it's going to feel like your foot fell asleep times 20. And then up to level 8, I believe the setting on here is actually called Gorilla Panic, so I'm not going to go that far. I don't want to test it. But you do kind of get used to it. You kind of have a tendency to inch up a little bit.
It's easy for me to say this because the electrodes are not attached to me currently. But, Jesse, don't you think for the betterment of the show, we should require Greg to increase the intensity throughout the show so he ends up at level 8 by show's end?
Anytime Greg is about to give an electrifying take, I think we need to crank that sucker up to 8.
Oh.
And, you know, let's get instead of a hot take, let's get an electrifying one from you, Greg. You know, is so Aaron Rodgers going to be back by August 1st?
No, crank it up. If you told me I had to be at 8 by the end of the segment, I think I would fry myself. By end of show, I think I could probably get there. It just that slow burn, right? You got to slowly roll your way up to 8. Yeah, you don't dive head first into the pool, Jason, right? You get your feet in, you get your midsection in, get that all warmed up, and then you kind of gradually dip your shoulders and head.
Well, we will. I appreciate that you're game for this. So when I'm talking to you from the final OTA practice, the final segment, Greg may be up to level 8 on his electro stim. We'll see what electro stim is doing for 2 of the 3 members of the Nets' big 3. Apparently, not enough for them to play tonight in Game 5, as both James Harden and Kyrie Irving are out. That leaves Kevin Durant, who seems to be pretty good still, which would be a concern for the Bucks. We'll talk more about the Bucks Game 5, plus the final open OTA practice of the offseason. We'll play some Twitter trash or Twitter treasure as well, and we'll keep checking on the electromagnetic waves that are being sent through Greg's body throughout the program. But Bucks in 6? We'll ask Greg about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
On air, online, and on demand. Get all your favorite ESPN Wisconsin content anywhere you get your podcasts for free. The new Wisconsin On Demand. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
We say the same thing after we lost 1-2, is that... You know, just got to find a way to protect our home court like they did. We didn't get down on ourselves. We didn't count ourselves out. And now our message is we got to steal one of these on the road to win this series.
That is the Bucks' Chris Middleton with The Weeknd playing in the background. I love this. This is such a good song. Bucks go for a 3-2 series lead tonight in Brooklyn. And I do believe our one half of the dream team that makes up Bucks Talk on 620 WTMJ, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, and 100.5 ESPN Madison after the postgame show on the Bucks Radio Network, has some breaking news for us regarding the Nets' injury situation. Jesse, hit the sounder.
This is some breaking news.
Well, we know Kyrie Irving is out for tonight's game with that gruesome ankle injury. I can't imagine he plays the rest of this series. When you see the bottom of somebody's foot, like the entire sole, and you know the ball of their ankle has touched the surface of the floor, that ain't something you bounce back from immediately. So Kyrie is out. However, the Nets have upgraded James Harden from out to doubtful, leaving open the very slim potential for James Harden to return in Game 5. Call it gamesmanship if you'd like. Call it, hey, he's progressing, he's getting better. That is the breaking news. James Harden upgraded from out to doubtful, dealing with that hamstring injury.
All right, I want to talk more about the Bucks since you and Justin Garcia don't do that enough together. But, Jesse, your Scooby-Doo... Look, I don't want to criticize your other great voices, but if you can do some quality like rut-rolls, etc., that could be moving into my Jesse Nelson power rankings for imitations. That was quite spot on.
I got to be honest, I didn't even know I was doing Scooby-Doo, but rut-roll.
Well, no, we're going to have to work.
You kind of forced that one. I thought you kind of forced that.
Craig, I force them all. Let's be real.
Good point. No, I like your Bane. I think your Bane is good.
All right, so the Bucks may or may not still probably not have to face James Harden tonight. They will not face Kyrie Irving. When I look at how this series has played out, we joke on this show, Greg, about how George Karl likes to say that the series doesn't start till someone wins on someone else's home floor. That could be tonight.
Could be.
I'm wondering, though, you know, as the Bucks even the series at 2-2 with their two wins at Fiserv Forum, like, what was the energy like in the building? Did you cover both games in person?
So Brian D covered the weekend game. I was there on Thursday of last week.
So I have not been to a live sporting event in person other than U10 soccer games. So what was it like in Fiserv? And then what do we expect the Nets to be able to draw from their crowd tonight? I don't know if they're at full capacity in New York yet or not, but it just feels, for me, the reason I ask is, I firmly believe that the Bucks had a much better chance of advancing last year had they had home court and been able to actually utilize it. And instead, we obviously know that they had to play in the bubble. So do you think it helped them, and do you think it will help even if you don't have two of your three best players, the Nets, tonight?
Yes, I do think it helps the home team. I truly do believe home court advantage is a thing. And it was interesting. On Thursday, I didn't feel like the energy was just, like, through the roof. But when the Bucks had the game, that led to a way – and you could sense it, right? And I talked to Brian about this as well. Like, the weekend, like, that was nutso. Like, it got bonkers. I mean, that was a warm day. It was a weekend. You didn't have to, you know, work your way out of work to get down to the Deer District. Like, just inside the arena and out, to me – it felt different from watching it, from talking to others. Like, it was a different sort of vibe. It was more of a confident vibe. Like, hey, now we're in this thing. This has gotten interesting. And then, of course, the Bucks are in the victory, and here we are in Game 6. I'm sure it'll be through the roof. That game will happen on Thursday. But I don't know if it's enough to always overcome deficiencies. And in this case, really, with the Nets, it's about two future Hall of Famers. One for sure unable to play. The second, I would be very surprised if he played, and he certainly wouldn't be 100%. So I don't think it's going to be enough. I think the pressure's now on the Bucks. This one from a runaway blowout, the Bucks aren't even competitive, to holy smokes, like, this thing changed in the snap of a finger to where not only is the series even, the Bucks have some momentum, but they're also the healthiest team out of the two. And the injuries the Bucks have are, I don't want to say insignificant, you've down a starter, but it doesn't match up to what the Nets are dealing with. And I think that's way too much for the Nets to overcome. I do not think they can ride one player and maybe a little of Joe Harris to earn a series win. I don't feel it happening. So home court's nice. It's nice. But I don't think it's enough to make up for the loss of two Hall of Fame players.
So here's my hot Bucks take. I do not have electrostimulation attached to me, though, so just so you don't have to ratchet it up for me.
I'm going to four here.
If all three of those guys are healthy, they lose the series, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I think the Nets win the championship. I think they beat the Clippers in the finals. But do we feel bad about this? Right? Is there a sense of any? Maybe it's worth a poll question, Jason. I do not think any asterisk gets put next to this series if the Bucks win. At all. Why? Because the Wisconsin sports fan has been treated to heartbreak time and time again. I don't think we need to go through the entire list here, but think about 4th and 26. Think about last year's NFC Championship game. Think about the Badgers losing a double-digit lead to Duke, and they couldn't stop Grayson freaking Allen. Think about the Brewers losing the NLCS on their home field in Game 7. Think about the time Andrew Bogut was shoved under the hoop by Amari Stoudemire back in 2010. If they had Andrew Bogut, they beat the Atlanta Hawks in that first-round playoff series. Instead, they lose in 7 games. Think about the Rockets. Think about the Rockets in 2018. Does anybody remember that Chris Paul got injured and couldn't play Game 6 and 7? No, all they remember is the Golden State Warriors advancing to the finals. In history, you will not remember who was on the floor and who wasn't. But the Wisconsin sports fan has been dragged through the mud by every one of our teams, college and pro. So the Bucks catch a little break. Hey, that's how it goes. This season, more than ever, is survival of the fittest in the NBA. Crazy schedule, the bubble last year, demanding survival of the fittest. The Bucks are the healthiest. They have prepared the best for this situation. Do not feel guilty or bad about this in any way, shape, or form.
That sounded like one of the extra points that I hear on 620 WTMJ. Jesse, you've been shaking your head throughout Greg's soliloquy. I feel like we may have some conflict, and as we know, Mike McCarthy likes to say, conflict is good.
Yeah, instead of an extra point, I'll go for two. That's insane, Greg. That's dumb. You want to beat teams when they're at their best. Now, am I going
you
to
You want
to
win a title. You want to win a title.
I could give a care
what another team is putting on the floor. Nobody's going to feel sorry for anyone.
The absolute last thing that I want as a Bucks fan who has been so deprived of not even a championship, but a chance to get a championship over all these years, the last thing I want is to be remembered in NBA history as the team that got really lucky because LeBron and AD were hurt for the Lakers, and so they weren't the force in the West that they could have been. And the Golden State Warriors got hurt that year, and they ended up not being any kind of a big villain like they'd been. And now they play the Brooklyn Nets, and the Nets had them through two games. And suddenly James Harden's not available to play the whole series, and then Kyrie Irving gets hurt, and it ends up being the point that shifts the entire thing for the Bucks to move forward. And then you just look at how it plays out across the rest of the conference. And yes, injuries are a part of sports, but when it's to the superstars, and when that's the reason you can look at all these and say, okay, if they get by the Nets, and if they get by the Jazz or whoever they would end up playing in the finals, and it's all because of this trickle-down effect of superstars across the league being injured, and the Bucks happen to be the lucky team that didn't have anyone fall out, that would be a bummer. I don't want to be remembered as the team that got like a default asterisk championship. I want to beat teams at their best. It's why when Brett Favre was with the Minnesota Vikings, I never understood why Packers fans who wanted to see Favre get beat said they wanted to injure him when he was with the Vikings. That's what Bears fans say. That's dumb. You want to beat somebody when they're at their best. You want to prove to them that they're bad and you're good and that you are superior to them, not because of some fluky injury situation.
You are going to get smoked on this poll. You are going to get smoked on this poll.
So,
would you rather beat a team at your best or would you just win a title regardless of the situation that leads up to it? Win a title is the answer.
This is great because usually it's me arguing with Tausch. I am just sitting back and smiling, and then I get to do what I do best, which is hedge. Because you're both right. Jesse, it absolutely has an asterisk if they advance, and then if they win the Eastern Conference, and then if they win the NBA title. But you know where that asterisk is being placed? Everywhere outside of Wisconsin. Greg, you're right. After all the heartbreak and disappointment of Wisconsin sports fandom, including, by the way, the NFC Championship game 6 months ago, which I firmly believe the Packers win if David Bakhtiari doesn't blow out his knee in practice on New Year's Eve. They don't have, Wisconsin sports fans don't have to apologize for anything. They can take their little bottle of white out and white out the asterisk on their sheet because of what they've been through. They shouldn't care about the asterisk. We've waited for championships. And again, let's make sure that they win, you know, game five before we start worrying about whether or not they'd have an asterisk for a title, Jesse. But for this series, if they do win it, yes, I think there's an asterisk, and no, they don't have to apologize for it.
On this series, though, right? So if they were to advance and then beat the 76ers or the Hawks, that's an interesting series, and then they beat either the Kawhi Leonard-led Clippers, the second seed in the West in the Suns, or the top seed in the West in the Utah Jazz, you're still going to have an asterisk? You can have it on this series if you want, but it would certainly not be there for an NBA title. To suggest the Bucks would not have earned their NBA title, given the gauntlet of teams they would run through, I mean, that's crazy.
Unless those teams have more injuries, too, before they get to them.
That's certainly possible, but that's part of the season, right? If you want to have an asterisk on the entire season, you could. This has been the most, without question, challenging NBA season in history. The most compressed schedule, the most challenging 12 months, if you want to include what they made players do in the bubble. Like, this is brutal, as bad as it comes. So teams were trying to get ahead of it and trying to manage their minutes throughout the season. And not every team was able to do it. The Bucks, you could argue, did it better than most. This entire season deserves extra focus and attention because of what players have been asked to do.
Now, don't get me wrong here. Like, I want the championship, whatever it takes to get the championship. I'm okay with winning if none of the big three are able to play tonight. If Durant, you know, he trips and falls on the sidewalk walking into the arena tonight.
Gets lost on his way to the Barclays.
Right, exactly. I'm taking that as a win. But we talked about this during the Packers run back in the winter also. If you win a Super Bowl and you go through Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes to win that Super Bowl, that's more impressive than if you go through Taylor Heineke and Mitch Trubisky and Ryan Tannehill to win that Super Bowl. Is it still a Super Bowl? Of course it is. And you're going to take it no matter what. But it is more impressive, and it feels like there's more merit to it to go through the best of the best.
So do you really think do you think back to, oh, yeah, that's right, Kevin Durant popped his Achilles. That's why Toronto won. Like, do you really think back to that? I don't. In history, it gets lost. You forget about it. There's still going to be a parade down Wisconsin Avenue, and people will go nuts.
The reason I remember the Raptors is because I remember watching the Warriors fall apart in the finals with injuries and thinking to myself, that could have been the Bucks. Had they not choked it away in that double overtime game in game three,
good point.
That could have been the Bucks. So, yeah, I do remember that one, actually, Greg. Maybe that's a bad example because it hits close to home.
Yeah, but it does it cloud your view on the title, like Toronto winning? No, Toronto won an NBA championship. Like, to suggest that there's no heavy lifting to get through this two-month odyssey of the NBA playoffs because a couple of guys got injured is nuts.
Well, I don't know. Jesse didn't say that there's no heavy lifting. He just said that there's an asterisk. But be that as it may.
Light lifting.
This is a really interesting question. And Jesse, put it on the poll. I love how Greg, as opposed to Tausch shouting, poll it, his approach is, oh, maybe this is worth a poll question. Different strokes for different co-hosts. I can tell you this.
I'm cranking up to five, by the way. I'm going to five.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bad idea. I'm back to four. Back to four.
Oh.
Bad idea. I'm back to four. Okay.
You couldn't handle five?
False alarm. My mistake.
We got to get you to eight by 11:30, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get to five yet?
That was a... I got ahead of myself there.
If you don't get to eight, this show will have an asterisk.
Yes, it will.
If you want something for certain, make the switch to Associated Bank, and you will for certain get the best customer service in the industry. And right now is the best time to do it if you're a Brewers fan, because if you sign up for Brewers Check, you get this great grill pack that includes your burger flipper that has the Brewers logo and Christian Yelich's signature embossed on it. And all you got to do is open and fund a new Brewers checking account. Or if you're already a Associated Bank customer like I am, all you got to do is have a friend do it. And then you'll get your grill pack. Again, check out associatedbank.com/brewers to find out more. There was a little bit of trash talk, I think, between Greg and Jesse. Next, we'll have some Twitter trash or treasure presented by Waste Management. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Touched a nerve. People don't like asterisks. Right?
Either that or they don't like me.
Well, I didn't want to say it. No, I don't think that's it. But they do like the debate. 844-770-3776 is the talk and text line. Where do you fall on this? My question, and Jesse, you can craft the poll question however you'd like on the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. But I guess my question is, should the Bucks win this series? Should it have an asterisk? Because again, look, they're playing on the road tonight. They have to win one on the road to win the series, either this one or game seven. It does appear, Greg, that the lesser-known non-Big Three players for the Nets, they seem to play pretty well in the first two games when they were playing at home. And if those types of guys do that again tonight, that could make things difficult, even without a doubtful James Harden and an out Kyrie Irving. 844-770-3776 is the number to both talk and text on the talk and text line. Let's do the talk portion first. Let's talk to Greg in a car. Greg, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How are you?
Good. Hey, guys. Hey, I just want to give you rattle off four examples. This is more football related where the asterisk doesn't make sense, okay? First time the Packers played Brett Favre in Minnesota, we had T.J. Lang playing left tackle. All everybody does is talk about how Favre beat them. When Atlanta beat the Packers in the playoffs for the first home loss in Lambeau ever, we had a center playing left tackle, a makeshift offensive line. By the third quarter, starting wide receivers were out. Last year, Kansas City, two starting offensive tackles out. Nobody's talking about that. You go way back, Johnny Unitas didn't play against the Jets, and all they talk about is Joe Namath. Now, would it be more fulfilling, of course, to beat a team when they're at full strength? Of course. But it's been 50 years, guys. Man, I will take it if they can win somehow.
Right. That is very fair. And I'm glad that you brought up a couple of really good Packers examples. And thanks for the call, Greg.
I love you guys.
Because, look, the 2002 team, you know, the big fella, usually on this program, but taking yet another well-deserved day off. I mean, they lost both their tackles. They lost their wide receivers in that game, or they'd lost Robert Ferguson, I believe, the week before or 2 weeks earlier against Jacksonville. Like, that team was banged up. They went from playing for a first overall seed in the NFC to hosting a home playoff game in the opening round and losing to Michael Vick. That's a very good example to me. I also, Greg, though, would point out that if you're the if you're a fan of the team that loses, you never forget the missed opportunity, which I think Greg was pointing to there, right? Like, you remember all the times that something happened that prevented the Packers from advancing. I mean, look, Tausch loves to bring this up, but in 2016, Rodgers carries them to the NFC Championship game, and then they've got Ladarius Gunter trying to cover Julio Jones. Not a great matchup for the Packers because their already mediocre secondary had suffered a bunch of injuries. So I agree, and the more important point, and I guess the Gregs agree on this based on the call, it's just been so damn long. 1971, I don't get to say this very often. The Bucks' last title was before I was born. Jesse's able to say that kind of stuff all the time.
I just don't think you apologize for winning in the playoffs. Another Packers example, Jason. I recall the Jeff Janis game, right? The dual Hail Marys from Aaron Rodgers against the Arizona Cardinals. Remember the depleted receiving core the Packers had on the field? I recall Mike McCarthy saying something to the effect of, we didn't go for two, we just didn't have our horses out there to play wide receiver.
True.
Maybe they go for two at the end of that game and it never goes to overtime if it's a healthy situation with the wide receivers. But all you remember is Larry Fitzgerald barreling his way down the field, like the future Hall of Famer that he is, getting tackled in the red zone and the game just ending. And another Packers season ends in heartbreak when it looked like for a moment, they were going to steal one on the road in heroic fashion. You don't apologize for winning. Things that happen to other teams, circumstances that are out of your control, it happens. It's sports. And this is not the finals. There's plenty more work to do. There are 8 more games to win beyond this series if you get by the Brooklyn Nets. And who knows how they could go, right? The Bucks could lose somebody. Maybe Trae Young gets injured for the Hawks, or Embiid's got one of his chronic issues cropping back up. But I don't believe the Bucks march to the finals, if it includes hoisting the trophy at the end of it all, will be met with little resistance. There will be plenty of roadblocks in the way beyond the Brooklyn Nets. You never apologize for winning.
Jesse, what's the text portion of the talk and text line have to say?
It's unanimous. Everybody is against me. Chef Ed, come on, Jesse. I don't care if the Bucks beat the Washington Generals. A title is a title. Chris, wasn't Jesse the guy who did not want someone to play a game because they might lose? Yes, that was me. That's different. College football, it's a difficult, very different situation, Chris, but you're right. That was me. Greg in SF, St. Francis, San Francisco, or San Fernando, or somewhere else. When people reflect back on champions, they rarely remember who came in second, let alone who was injured on the teams faced along the way. A win is a win, and that's it. They can't control what the other team puts on the court. There's a few more, but they're all in the same vein.
Well, it would appear that, and we'll play Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure next, but right now, at least on the talk portion of the talk and text line, you're getting trashed. We'll play Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure presented by Waste Management next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch continues next on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Back to Jesse and Greg arguing. Is this what Bucks talk is like when I don't tune in? Because you guys seem very amicable when I'm in the car.
Winning cures all, doesn't it? It does help. Justin and I have certainly had our disagreements. I do recall after game number one, I said, the DJ Augustine experiment's not going to work. I would rather have a guy named Jeff Teague on this team. And he laughed and laughed and laughed. That was after game number one of the regular season. And about halfway, a little more than halfway through the season, DJ Augustine was gone and Jeff Teague was on the Bucks, although he's not playing.
Oh, big win for you.
But I let him know about it once in a while. I've taken many a hit, Jason, in my time on the radio. I try to celebrate my wins humbly because there are certainly plenty of things I put out that don't end up becoming true. Aaron Jones will not be returning to the Green Bay Packers, though he should.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I maintained he should. I just didn't think he would. But I'm delighted he is back in a Packers uniform.
I do believe that that made it into, shortly after that pronouncement, Twitter trash or Twitter treasure. We'll see what else is on that list today.
You only find two things on Twitter. Trash.
Yes, I love trash.
And treasure. Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure is brought to you by Waste Management, a company committed to people first and success with integrity. Join the WM family and visit careers.wm.com.
Well, why don't we start with your fellow Bucks Talk host, Justin Garcia. Greg Matzik, he leads off this edition of Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure. Justin tweeted on Sunday afternoon. Now, it was a dicey situation at Fiserv Forum where the arena was evacuated right after the game. There was reports of a fire that apparently didn't actually happen. But Justin's tweet, shouts to the drunk couple in Giannis jerseys that had the unfortunate luck of getting what appeared to be a nasty breakup fight in front of roughly 100-plus members of the media, team personnel, and arena employees as we were evacuated. Putting the couple in the Giannis jerseys on blast after the game, a friendly day in the Deer District turns into what appears to be a breakup fight. Twitter trash or Twitter treasure from our guy, JG. Greg, you're his host of Bucks Talk with him. You go first.
I think the situation is certainly unfortunate. But that is Twitter treasure because it is a little glimpse into the inside of the action, right? The action beyond the action. Apparently there will be no more action. But a glimpse into what is happening inside the Deer District for those who aren't there. Boy, it's all-encompassing. I presume alcohol was involved, though I don't want to get in the middle of it.
So, a few things that I enjoyed about this. First of all, Paula and I don't do a whole lot of couple clothing combinations. And I actually enjoy irritating her by her picking out something and then me finding a corresponding outfit to match with her. This is what you do after 12 years of marriage. But this lovely couple that was arguing in Justin's purview, one went home Giannis jersey and one went away Giannis jersey. So I thought that was some really good combination work. And then and I am not a purveyor of tattoos, but in the photo during this argument, or perceived argument, per Justin, she has a tattoo of some person on her left quad, and I think it's Prince, but I'm not sure. All I know is that I love it, and it's a great look, and if she's now available, this could be a great opportunity for her. Next.
Another staple of Twitter trash or Twitter treasure is Steve the Homer True at ESPN Homer.
Yes, he is.
He rifles takes left and right on Twitter. Here's one of his latest. We do all agree Aaron Rodgers is both a first ballot Hall of Famer and a complicated fellow, like some NFL players. Obviously, a lot of talk yesterday about Mark Murphy's comments describing Aaron Rodgers as a complicated fella. Homer says we all agree he's a first ballot Hall of Famer and a complicated fella. Twitter trash or Twitter treasure? Greg Matzik.
Well, I agree with that. So I'll say it's Twitter treasure in that it's not a false statement, in my opinion. I just don't think the team president should be saying it, and I don't think he should be hiding his feelings behind someone who has passed away in revealing those comments. That was the trash portion of what Mark Murphy had to say. But I don't think it's wrong to be complicated either. I don't look at this like it's a giant negative. Do you think Michael Jordan wasn't a little complicated, or LeBron, or any of the greats? if it leads you to the NFC Championship game, Super Bowl, a few MVPs, like that is a small price to pay for someone who believes they can help in more ways than one with his team and gets a little irritated when, you know, his thoughts are not properly heard within the front office. So I don't think it's a bad thing to be complicated, number one. But I think it's an accurate statement. I just don't need the president of the Packers saying it because it certainly does nothing to help the situation.
This is Twitter trash. And here's why. Everything Homer writes in there is accurate. Greg just made many of the points I would have made. The more important thing, though, to me, is intent. He didn't intend that as a compliment when he called him complicated. It's not meant to say, he's a really intelligent, erudite, brilliant guy who's a very deep thinker. No, that's not the intent. Now, again, the intent is to say that he's difficult. Guess what? He is difficult. And I think even Aaron Rodgers will acknowledge that he can be difficult. But Greg's point is the one that matters the most, and that is unnecessarily said and hiding behind someone who passed away to buoy your statement. I would also add this. I told this to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Greg, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is upset about this. I think this is a perfect example of the kind of stuff he's talking about when he's talking about how people are treated and all that kind of stuff. This is exactly the kind of thing that proves his point for him.
Last one in Twitter trash or Twitter treasure. Another staple of this game has become one of my favorite follows on Twitter. At MVS underscore 11, Marquez Valdez Scantling. He had like several again this week that I could choose from. Here's the one I chose. Don't send me to the grocery store shopping. I'm buying snacks only. Twitter trash or Twitter treasure? Greg Matzik.
Now, Marquez Valdez-Scantling is a finely tuned professional athlete. I think they do have some sort of meal options at Lambeau Field, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm sure for road trips, he is now to the point in his career where somebody fetches him his food. But if it's all goldfish and granola bars, VS, when he's not at the facility, I prefer perhaps he do something different. But hey, this is what it's like to be in your early 20s. You could probably get away with it, although I say it is trash. You're a finely tuned athletic machine in a contract year. Let's just make sure you're of sound mind, body, and spirit all the way around. And diet has something to do with mood. I believe that.
I can only assume that when he says snacks, what he means are like kale chips, quinoa, you know, healthy choices that us normal people don't necessarily always make. That is Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure presented by Waste Management, the 10 a.m. hour. It is the final open OTA practice. We haven't talked nearly enough Packers as I've been out of my depth. Good thing we have one of the hosts of Bucks Talk to carry me through. But we want to keep going with the asterisk question, but we also want to talk about the final week of Packers OTAs. This is it. Until they start training camp on July 27th. That's where we'll kick off the 10 a.m. hour. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.